Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to one of the top up-and-coming wrestling podcasts on the planet right now, none other than Cut the Promo Podcast. I am your host, none other than Jordan Garber. And before I get to what I have to get to, Icon, thanks for being on the panel again. Tell everyone what you've been up to.
Well, hey, everybody. Good to be back. This is the Icon, as always. Great to be part of Cut the Promo Podcast. Everybody knows that the up-and-coming show is this one. We have a successful Monday show, so together we plan on knocking out the podcast wrestling podcast competition with the group of us that we have, and it's great to be here. How are you, Garber? What's up?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, and I have a lot on my mind that I do want to bring up about the next big show coming up in July. Now, as everyone's been informed recently, we have former WWE star Al Snow on our show. Al Snow has done it all in the professional wrestling industry. So why not I make it to myself to create a two-hour event that features some of the best wrestlers in the history of our profession, in the history of our business. So next month in July, the two-hour blast is going to feature some of the best superstars in professional wrestling. And I'm going to tell you, if you can just Google Jordan Garber on Google and you look at the history, you'll see the extensive experience that I have all over professional wrestling media. And that's not just going to happen again. It's going to happen again times 10, because we are the best in the world at what we do, and that is pro wrestling media. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
And you can't beat what we're about to do. You cannot stop what we're going to do with Garber and myself, and with the help of a select few. We're going to take both our shows to the top of the heap, top of the mountain, and then we're going to look down on everybody else, and they're going to say, geez, I wish we were up there. As soon as they get close, we'll just knock them down the ladder again because we're going to the top.
Exactly. You know, each and every week we set new heights in terms of listeners, and everyone that is listening from around the world right now, I want to just take the time to thank each and every one of you, because without you guys, there is no wrestling podcast. So I want to thank everyone around the world, from the coast of Australia to here in Winnipeg to Buffalo, New York, to Mexico, to, heck, I guess even Antarctica, the North Pole. Everyone from everywhere is listening to our show, which obviously means that we're doing something right. I kind of want to go into depth. We are currently awaiting the appearance on Cut the Promo Podcast of Devin Hannibal Nicholson. Now, before we bring him on the show, kind of a little bit of a preview of what we're looking at here. We're looking at somebody who does the same thing that we have done in pro wrestling, me more in particular, because Devin Hannibal Nicholson has been in the ring. He is a full-time wrestler. I've been in a few matches. Devin Nicholson has been in the business for a long time, and now he runs a podcast and a YouTube channel and done exactly the same thing that we have done, and that's interviewed some of the best in our industry. So it's going to be really good to have a very similar person in our industry talking to us, because, you know, I think that's what wrestling needs to have more of, and that's podcasts and obviously more interaction. It's a very important thing. So I kind of, to give it away to you, Icon, as we wait him to call in, what are your thoughts on Devin Hannibal Nicholson?
Well, with Hannibal, he is a big man, and he is a superstar, and I cannot wait to chat with him. The thing is, I've been trying to get him on our show for a while. The only thing is, unfortunately, our show is booked from now until next June. We're booked a year in advance. And the thing is, with my show on Monday nights, Attitude Era Live from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, we have a lot of guests that want to join us, and they don't want to wait a year to come on. So I asked them, would you like to be on a Sunday night show, cut the promo? And they say, sure, set me up. And since you have, I believe, officially made me the lead booker, I will get more and more wrestling superstars on the show. And it's great. And also to let everybody know, next week on this show, Melissa Rose Winchester is going to be on at 10:05 p.m. and has just confirmed her appearance for next week.
That is awesome. You know, we keep bringing on some of the best, and, you know, what they're going to do is they're going to share their perspectives about what they do best. And we all know what happens coming up next month. You don't want me to elaborate on the 2-hour blast once again, because I've already done that, and I plan on elaborating on it more. So, tomorrow, your podcast, what do you have planned? Like, what's kind of the big setup for your show? You do have some big things lined up. Why don't you kind of inform everybody again what it's about?
Well, we have a 3-guest night tomorrow night. We have Sandra Taylor, who's been on this show. She's a high-flying referee, if you remember. We have Calamity Kate. She's the first ever burlesque dancer slash wrestler. And she uses a lot of her burlesque moves in the ring. And if you check her out on Instagram, you'll see her getting busy with a grinder on the crotchal area, which is really, really interesting. And we're also going to have Jen Rep, who has currently challenged Justin Bieber to a match because he has challenged Tom Cruise to a wrestling match.
Yeah, that's crazy. Tom Cruise challenged to a wrestling match. The question is Tom Cruise going to accept that challenge, or is Tom Cruise going to be Tom Cruise?
I would love to see that. I'd love to see Tom Cruise beat the hell out of Justin Bieber, and I want to see Jen Rapp beat the hell out of Justin Bieber, because I don't like Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber is like the North Dakota winners. They're cute for a while, but can stay up in Canada for the rest of the time.
Hey, come on. Canada, hey, we don't have any sort of problems up here. I'm just kidding. No, it's, Winnipeg's the safest place you could ever visit. I'm just kidding. No, it's not. It's the Chicago of Canada. So I guess everyone thinks it's nice and peaceful up here in Canada, but second guess yourself. You know, it's just basically the same thing as the States in some ways.
Well, I remember how Bret Hart used to break up Canada, you know. So.
And I do want to let you know, Icon, that we are still obviously awaiting our guests, but I also have actually chicken wings and pizza on the way. Yes, I'm one of those podcasters that likes to get food on the go, and I actually have the Skip the Dishes app here, and it currently shows the car is 4 minutes away from my house and almost at my door. So that's something that obviously I'm very excited about. So that's going to be something as follows. So you are definitely going
right,
to have to.
All right, I'm going to call her a guest.
Keep
so
the crowd revved up there.
All right.
So one thing we want to talk
about.
I
guess he wants me to call him. So.
Oh, he wants us to call him. Okay.
All right, I'm going to call him right now. Hold on.
All right, let's get him on the line. Meanwhile, guys, this is probably one of the bizarre... Oh, we got him calling in now. Okay. Okay. Hang tight. All right, is this Devin?
It is.
Awesome, Devin. Thanks for tuning in here to Cut the Promo Podcast. I am just currently picking up my chicken wings right now. There they are. It's great to have you on the program, sir. Hope you're having a good night. How's your Sunday so far?
Hi there.
Thank you so much.
Everything's good. Is this on the air now, or is this recording it for later?
You are live.
No, we
right
are live
on
the air.
Okay. Well, everyone listening, go to the HannibalTV.com and definitely subscribe to the Hannibal TV on YouTube for the best shoot interviews in professional wrestling. match videos, news videos, and a lot more.
How long have you had Hannibal TV? When did you start that and launch that?
2015-ish. So about 4 to 5 years. We started
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We had our company, Great North Wrestling, for almost 12 years now. But we only started the actual channel of all Great North Wrestling footage and then interview footage in the past 4 or 5 years before we were on several other YouTube channels operated by various people that were recording our events at various times. So we finally decided to start our own.
So Hannibal, I kind of want to get started here at the Quad. We were talking about earlier in the program how that we have a very similar kind of lineage in wrestling. Now, it's kind of reversed. You started out as a worker and transitioned your way into podcasts. When I started, I started out with podcasts, and I went on the road with the local talent here in the Manitoba scene. And then I kind of transitioned and became an all-rounder. So kind of out for wrestling for so many years and having so much experience in this business, what gave you the tick to be involved in podcasting and interview big names as well?
What happened was somebody did a movie on me, a documentary, ended up winning a few awards called This is Hannibal. He was one of the people doing videos for me, and he was following Great North Wrestling events around for 2 years, getting footage for that. And when I started my own channel, he gave me a lot of that Great North Wrestling footage as well as some interview footage that he never used in the movie. And when I started posting it, I noticed that overall the interviews that I conducted were getting a lot more hits than the match videos. So up to that point, I wasn't doing interviews with people that came to wrestle for us. But when we saw how popular they were getting, whenever I would bring in a wrestler, I would make sure to get some type of interview with them and then post it on the Hannibal TV YouTube channel, to the point where now I'm actually doing more interviews than promotion of wrestling events, because it's a lot easier, it's a lot more fun, a lot less stress, and I'm going on interview trips, I'm traveling all over the place. I've already been to Florida, Arizona, Nevada, Niagara Falls, New York City, New Jersey, all over the place this year, and the year's just begun. I'm going to Indiana later in the year to a big convention in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a lot of places this summer too, plus another Great North Wrestling event, August 10th, Oblivion in Petawawa, Ontario, where I will be stepping back into the ring as a pro wrestler for the first time in over a year to take on Teddy Hart. So that should be very interesting.
I was just kind of curious. Did you mention Fort Wayne? Did you say Fort Wayne?
Yes, there's a huge convention going on there in October, and I'm going to be getting a bunch of interviews at that convention. Everyone's going to be there almost from the wrestling world. It's called Heroes and Legends 13.
Well, the reason why I asked about Fort Wayne, being from North Dakota and a big NDSU Bison fan, IPFW is one of our big rivals in the Summit League. So I know all about Fort Wayne. That's kind of cool that you get to go there. When you schedule these interviews, you obviously go to where the individual's at. When you set these interviews up, do you set them up a year in advance, a couple months in advance? How often do you have to set them up?
Sometimes the same day, like the Paul Orndorff one that I did about not even 2 weeks ago. It was like the day before. Sometimes you only find out that these people are around with very short notice, and they're people – like Tank Abbott, for instance, last year I was in L.A. and randomly I was able to score an interview with Tank Abbott that I wasn't even prepared for. And the Tank Abbott interview ended up doing way better than the Tito Ortiz interview that I had pre-planned. So I was actually really happy that I got that Tank Abbott interview in the end, too. So I'm just always ready. Some of them I plan, like I went to the southern U.S. last year, like Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, and I interviewed people at their houses. But sometimes it's a convention, like this Fort Wayne, where I know there's going to be a bunch of wrestlers, and I'm become friends with the promoter. He's going to help me set up the interviews in advance. So less traveling, but I don't mind traveling. I love the United States and I like seeing it all.
Well, you know, I'm sure that Garber feels the same way I do, but if you're ever in the Winnipeg area or the Fargo, North Dakota area, we'd love to be part of your show like you were part of ours. You know, I know that we got some interesting things to talk about, like how we've grown our podcast to what they are and how we're going up in the business or trying to.
Well, that's excellent. I'm glad you guys are doing well. I have been to Winnipeg a bunch of times, actually. The Olympic trials where I got silver, the silver, and was the alternate for the London Games was in Winnipeg. So I was there for that, and I remember how brutally cold it was.
Yes, sir. But you're from Ottawa, right? Around the Ontario area, aren't you? So, like, it's you're pretty much used to it.
Oh, yes. It's terrible here, too. My goal is to move to Arizona because I really like it there, and it's warm all year round. So to do well enough with my interviews or however else I can do it and move somewhere where I don't have to deal with the cold, because I don't know how it was in Winnipeg, but it was a very long winter here this year, and I'm not a fan of dealing with this.
Well, here in North Dakota, the winter that we had, since we're so in close proximity to Winnipeg, the winter that we had, it made it seem like we were already in 2020. That's how long the winter was.
Wow. Yeah, I understand. And luckily, four of the best years I had, I got to wrestle in Puerto Rico, and I got to escape winter for those 4 years, and I didn't hate it as much until I had to start dealing with it again, and then I realized how much I hated it.
Devon Hamill Nicholson is our guest here on Cut the Promo Podcast. Jordan Garber, what do you got for our guest here? I know you got a few more good questions, and I'll ask a few. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when it comes to basically your podcasting, it comes kind of the same thing that as I have things in hand. I do podcasts, and I like to set them up appropriately and do interviews appropriately, and usually away from the locker room environment due to the tradition of the industry and everything with the media and breaking kayfabe and all of that. So, you know, sometimes once in a while I'll get ribbed for, you know, doing an interview or in the locker room or once in a while. When you started just doing your interviews for the first time, and how did the local scene react to it, you know? Did they kind of support you along the way, or was there a few kinks in the road the first time?
I've always been, I guess you could say the most known wrestler from this area. And probably the most successful wrestler up to this point from this area. So I don't really have much trouble in the locker room. I'm also a former Canadian Open winner in grappling, Ontario heavyweight and open division winner in grappling, national champion in freestyle wrestling. I don't think too many people are going to say much to me, because what it has happened in the past, it hasn't ended too well.
Well, you know, when you come to the ring and they announce you, you know, your height and weight, because you are a big guy, just to kind of give our listeners a feel, what is your height and what is your weight? And your wrestling record, what What is the record that you've compiled in your career?
I am 6'4". Right now, I'm about 265 pounds. In the past, I've been closer to 285, 290, but now I really enjoy running, and I don't focus on powerlifting as much, so I don't think I'll ever get to those 285s again. My pro wrestling record, I honestly don't know. I've been wrestling since 2001. I had a medical issue at one point. I did take 3 years off to get that medical issue fixed, but some years, as I said, I wrestled in Puerto Rico for 4 years. Then I was wrestling three or four times a week. I wrestled in England for a few months, wrestling almost every day. So I honestly don't know. I've never been much of a record guy. And there is a record online of me, but they were missing a lot. So I couldn't tell you. I've won more than I've lost. Definitely know that.
Well,
always entertained the fans.
Tell us a little bit more about your experience on WWE Velocity and kind of how that opportunity came about for you. Just to get the extra.
I was actually on Heat and SmackDown from 2004 to 2006. They were using me all the time as an extra. At that time, I was trained by the Hearts in Calgary, so I was being used in Alberta, but they would also use me. They used me in California. They used me in Arizona. They used me in Nevada. And they used me in Ontario and Quebec. So there was interest there. And then, for whatever reason, I was never hired at that point. Then I didn't get another tryout until 2009. And when I got the 2009 tryout, they did offer me a contract, to which, unfortunately, I had a medical issue that I was unaware of at the time that caused the contract to be rescinded that I later got cured of. So, yeah. So by that point, when I was offered the contract, I think I had had 14 different extra jobs and tryout type things. So I had definitely been working at it for a while.
You know, I'm kind of curious. You know, you mentioned the contract signing, and unfortunately the medical issue happened. What was it like to meet Vince McMahon for the first time? What was that like for you? And what is he like?
The time that I met him for the very first time, I actually remember this because it was backstage at an extra taping, and I was talking to Chris Benoit, who shockingly, I was always shocked at, he actually followed like the local Stampede wrestling scene in Calgary. Like, he actually went on the message boards for Stampede Wrestling, and he knew a lot about what was going on. So he was asking me about that type of stuff. And Vince came up to us, introduced himself to me politely, then he told Chris that he had to talk to him about something, and he apologized and said, "Oh, I got to take Chris away from you." So that was actually the most talk I ever had with him. I did meet him almost every one of my tryouts, but that was the most talk because the person that signed me was actually Johnny Ace, and it was Ty Bailey, also working with him at Talent Relations at the time, and it was Pat Patterson, from what I understand, who had recommended that I had been hired.
So with your Hannibal TV interviews that you do, do you plan on like putting out a DVD of Hannibal TV's greatest interviews, or doing like a wrestling series of like legends doing like a segment of 80s legends and then doing like a section of 90s legends or anything like that? Has that ever come to pass or any plans on that?
Maybe, but for now I'm actually not as big of a wrestling fan as I used to be. I still follow the news and stuff, and I actually report on news. But I'm a big MMA fan, and I'm also interested in celebrity stuff. So I think I'm going to keep doing the wrestling, but also try and branch out more. I've done, as I said, I interviewed Tito Ortiz, Tank Abbott, Randy Couture, Ken Shamrock, Dan Severin, Forrest Griffin, Stefan Bonner, just to name a few. And there's a lot of MMA guys, and I'm going to keep doing those. I just interviewed Larry Holmes, the boxing great. I've interviewed George Chavallo before from the world of boxing, Michael Spinks, Jerry Cooney. So I'm interested in real fighting sports as well.
Have you had the chance to meet our hero, well, my hero, Ronda Rousey?
I have not. But you know what? There is one interview I want to get that's one of my heroes that's up your guys' way, and that is Jesse the Body Ventura. You're asking me what I would like to do in the future. Now, there's a guy that I think I might want to interview more than anyone else at this point.
Well, you know, Jesse Ventura, when he was governor of Minnesota, I had a chance to meet him one time. Of course, you know, being the governor, you know, you don't really want to ask the governor of a state about wrestling. But when I had the chance to talk to him, he was more willing to talk about wrestling than he was politics, which was really, really cool.
That is interesting. Well, he probably was bored of talking politics by that point. But, yeah, it seems in some interviews I've seen he hasn't wanted to delve too much into wrestling. But one thing I like about him is both him and Hogan ripped off Billy Graham, who I've become friends with over the years. But Jesse has always done nothing but put Billy Graham over. And Hulk Hogan was the opposite. He rarely gave Billy Graham credit, and did a lot of negative stuff for Billy over the years. So I have a lot of respect for Jesse Ventura. So that's a cool story that you just said.
And I'll ask one more question, and we'll send it back to Jordan. We have Hannibal with us. We have on Cut the Promo podcast, taking time out of his schedule to join us. We really do appreciate that. You know, with your interviews that you do, I'm sure that you have a pretty big contact list. And I don't know if you stay in contact with all the people that you all the people that you interview, but do you think they'd be willing to come on other podcasts, or do you pretty much keep them to yourself and not pass the buck, per se?
It really depends on who's asking and my relationship with them and the type of person they are that... Like, some of them, I know they're going to say no, so I'm not going to bother them about it. The ones that like doing interviews, of course, I don't mind recommending them to people outside of the Hannibal TV. But, yeah, overall, I'm not really friends with many other interviewers. Not really.
Well, the reason why I was asking is, I don't know if you'd be able to put us in touch with any... good interviewees, but we hope that at this point, you know, I know you just met us, but hopefully you consider us a friend, and you also like the that cool collector's card that the Icon made for you and sent you on Facebook Messenger.
That is cool.
I was gonna ask you what you thought.
That is cool, and you'd be surprised also how many people, when you just ask them what they'll say. I've used many methods over the years to reach people. Some people have been way more difficult to score than others. Like, I also am interested in UFOs. I've done several UFO interviews. and I've had to track down some of those guys
that
too.
That is cool. The UFOs is cool. I agree with you on that. That's another hobby of mine. Just knowing more about that.
Yeah, well, I've interviewed Paul Hellyer, who is a former Canadian Minister of National Defense. He's actually the most highest-ranking official that will speak publicly about the existence of UFOs. I interviewed him, and most recently, Travis Walton from the Fire in the Sky movies, who is by far the most credible abductee case ever, because they actually thought he was killed, and they started a murder investigation on him. So it was very well investigated, and it's now been like almost 40 years since that case, and they made a Hollywood movie and everything about it, and nobody's been able to prove him wrong. He's passed every lie detector test in the years since, but that was one I really had to track down and really travel all the way out into the middle of nowhere to find as well. So, but it was fun. That's what it's all about, right?
Jordan, I'll let you ask a few more questions. Then I want to ask a couple questions about UFOs. I know this is a wrestling show, but I got it. You mentioned something, another subject I'm very passionate about, which is UFOs. But go ahead, Garber, what do you got?
Oh, no, absolutely. And it's officially a wrestling show. Other things can be brought up, but as long as wrestling is covered for at least most of the show, that's what's important. We're always more than happy to talk about other things, too. Like, you know, UFOs are really cool. And I've watched these documentaries, especially in places like New Mexico, where, you know, are aliens real? Well, I think they are. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that you can talk about for entirety. Like, there's just something, there's so much you cannot talk about it. Like, there's so much to talk about that you can't stop talking about it. And it's one of those things that's really interesting. But, no, absolutely. I guess my wrestling question, kind of before we talk about that a little more, is, you know, if you could pick three guys out of everyone you worked as your favorite workers, who would they be and why?
To wrestle myself or that I'm a fan of? Like, what do you mean? Who are my favorite wrestlers to wrestle or who are my favorite wrestlers that I'm a fan of?
Oh, like, who are your favorite wrestlers to work and wrestle?
Oh, to actually get in the ring with?
Yeah.
I really don't have, nothing really sticks out. At one point, I actually really liked wrestling Abdullah the Butcher. I wrestled him in a feud and also was tag team partners with him until all the bads, until I realized what a fucking piece of shit he was.
Yeah, I heard all about that. That was going to be the last, a little more of a later question about that, but, you know.
That was one of my
best
feuds, and as far as feuds, that was one of my best, and Ricky Banderas in Puerto Rico, he went on to be Judas Messiah in TNA, and he was also in Lucha Underground as Mil Mortes in AAA, but we had a long feud in IWA Puerto Rico, and I took the Intercontinental title from them at one point. So those were my two most famous feuds. There's no one that I really like to wrestle. Yeah, I think I can have a good match with anybody.
So,
well, you know, you mentioned.
Go ahead. The whole Abdullah the Butcher incident. When that kind of came about, is that something like you know, how did that all kind of come into play? And when everything happened in the end, how good did you feel that karma came to itself, basically?
Well, no, I didn't really get karma because I never actually got all the money that was judged. I won in both Canada and the US.
Oh, no, I mean him getting karma for what he did, like not thinking.
Well, let's hope he gets it. But, no, well, what I knew that he had given it to me because there wasn't really anyone else I'd had double blood matches with. And basically when I found out I had hepatitis C when I failed the WWE medical. It was one of my, the guy that actually did the movie about me was the guy that was reviewing one of my matches and saw him cut himself with a blade and then cut me with a blade. I didn't realize I did it. He did it in the match because I had adrenaline pumping through me and I was already bleeding from my own cuts. But we saw it. It's very clear on video, and the whole case was based on video because it turns out he had had hepatitis C for 10 years prior to that match. And everybody knows you can catch hepatitis C from sharing razor blades. Everyone knows that's dangerous, and if you guys are wrestlers, you know an accepted risk of a wrestling match. You're not expecting your opponent to have a razor blade with hepatitis C blood on it and then to cut you with that razor blade. That's not something you would ever expect, and that's what happened to me. I had had blood tests shortly before that match that were negative for hepatitis, so it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that he had it. He cut me with a used blade, and then I caught it. And it was a pain in the ass to get rid of. It took me about 3 years and to get clear of the treatment, and they were chemotherapy-like treatments. The second treatment was experimental. It wasn't covered by the government. I had to spend about $80,000 on it. Then I spent thousands in...
Really expensive. That's really
yes,
intense.
And that one is off the market now because it has so many side effects. It was called Insovec triple therapy, but it worked. But yeah, it was $80,000. There's some that are even more than that, but there are easier cures now. But I am cured. I just never got another shot at the big leagues after I had it. But the point was, I was offered a contract. I lost a wrestling contract over it. I actually lost my real job at the time too, which was working with you could call them psychopathic handicapped people, people with developmentally disabilities in group homes that can attack you. So when I had hepatitis C, I couldn't work there anymore, and that was a high paying job that I relied on for income. Then on one of the treatments, I had to be off all work because the medications had such side effects. But we won in Ontario. He was found guilty of negligence, assault, and battery. Negligence, because he knew he had hepatitis C. He knew he cut me on purpose with a blade that had his blood on it. Doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that's dangerous. And assault, he didn't ask me permission to do that. And battery, it caused bodily harm. So basically what happened, we won in Canada, but then it took us 2 years to get the judgment endorsed in the U.S., which basically means the judgment gets certified. But in the meantime, he had managed to sell and transfer a bunch of his properties. And my U.S. lawyer in charge of the collections hasn't done a good job up to this point. So I don't know what's going to happen with the collection. All I know is at this point it's just cost me thousands and thousands in legal fees, but at least I set the record straight on what happened and the reason why I caught that horrible, potentially deadly disease.
Are you under a gag order, like, so you can't say, like, you know, what you were suing for or anything like that? You can't really discuss that, right?
No, we got it. There's no gag order because we won. There's only gag orders with if there's settlements, from my understanding.
So, honestly,
I don't even remember how much I won. I think it was a complicated. A lot of it was the medical damages. Then there was the loss of the contract, and the thing was, we had to have an expert judge approximately what the average wrestler makes in a career with WWE, which was complicated. You can't really... The thing what he took away is he took away my chance. Some people said, Hannibal never would have made it. And some people say, Hannibal would have made one of the greatest heels of all time. The problem was, I never got the chance. I was only ever used by WWE as an extra. I've never had a chance in a major company to show what I can do, he took away that chance from me. But I'll actually look it up on the internet what I won, because I don't even know it off by heart, because it's so horrible that it's just cost me a fortune.
Well, yeah, and it's a bad deal. And we have Devin Hannibal Nicholson with us here on Cut the Promo Podcast. I just want to, you know, I don't know.
I won $2.3 million in damages. $2.3 million Canadian in damages.
Which is times seven in American.
No. American is worth more than Canadian, so it's less than that.
Well, yeah,
in
that's why I said it. Yeah, it's worth times seven in American.
Yeah, so. And again, this guy is not poor by any stretch, okay? He had numerous properties registered under his. Anyway, I'm not even getting the details of the collection, actually, at this point, because it's ongoing. But he's not a poor individual.
Does that kind of garnish his wages then? They garnish his earnings and everything? Or until he sold the property?
The thing was, he sold his main restaurant. He had a restaurant, and he closed it down after we won the Canadian case. And there's still one more restaurant under his name in a mall, but it's operated by like a company and not him personally. So it's complicated.
Okay.
When he does autograph sessions, he's paid in cash. Like, it's hard to get stuff without spending a lot of money to get it. So that's the issue.
So
I already spent a fortune on the trials themselves, but we'll see how that plays out. He's not dead yet.
Yeah. So coming to a mall near you, the new Hannibal Eatery. No.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's on my list, but this cost me so much. You gotta give me some sort of restitution over everything that he's caused in my life. And it actually makes me sick. I've posted it a few times. Like, I don't hold it personally against people that want to, like, post pictures if they see him at an autograph session, but unfriend me. You're not my friend if you guys are going to do that, because it brings up such horrible memories if I have to see this piece of shit in my feed after all he's done. I was through a point there when the first treatment didn't work. I was suicidal. I'm very lucky I didn't kill myself. Because can you imagine, you lose your contract, you also have a terrible disease, and then you lose your real job? That gets pretty depressing.
Well, you
I
know,
ended up having
I'll
to move
you.
Back in with my parents at one point.
Yeah.
It was fucking.
Well,
quite
you know,
awesome.
I'll tell you. You're such a great guy, and you know, I'm not just saying this because it's you. We're definitely on your side on this, and we hope you get a lot more. And you know, we want you to continue fighting. It's like, you know, that's, you know, hepatitis. I mean, that's such a bad thing. I don't even want to dwell on it because I'm sure you don't want to talk about it. But I'm going to ask one more question about that. Then I want to go back to the UFO question. Do you have to go in for testing now regularly because of this thing?
I've been tested every year since. I'm considered cured. A doctor can't write that you're cured, or they'll lose their license if you're not actually cured. But my most recent test was December 2018, and I'm still clear. So the cure has been reconfirmed over and over and over again. It doesn't come back. You have to be reinfected.
Well, let's hope that never happens, because we love you.
Oh, definitely.
So my question, I have a question about the UFOs. You know, you mentioned you're big into that, and I'm kind of big into that. Here's my question. I don't know if you can answer that or want to answer that, but with UFOs, do you think the government knows more than what they're letting on when it comes to UFOs?
Well, there's lots coming out that some governments are actually giving out documents that used to be classified, unclassifying them. Even the United States has done that. but it's hard to say. From what I understand, there's different levels of government, and then there's like the CIA and other sections. So some presidents may have known more than others, depending on they're tested in various ways, I guess, by other levels of government, from what I understand, to see how they might react to having such knowledge. So maybe not even all levels of government know the same in every government. So I really couldn't answer that. But they have, even the United States government have had people investigating UFOs. They have admitted that because there's issues with aircraft safety and military issues. What are these unidentified flying objects? No matter what they are, if they're not identified and they're flying their objects and they're in our airspace, that's a little scary. Whether they're aliens or enemy craft, that's scary. So they have the U.S. government, from what I've seen, there's been people coming out, very credible people appearing on very credible shows, saying that they have investigated some of these unidentified flying objects, but they're not admitting anything like there's aliens that exist or really the exact amount of these unidentified flying objects. And what I find funny is whenever they report this on news, a lot of them are always laughing. It's like, ha, 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 ha. There's a UFO that shut down an airport. Isn't that funny? As
that,
if by making a joke about it, it's not scary.
It'll tell you something's up.
Yeah. Because they have shut down various airports for safety reasons due to UFOs in the past. So I don't know. I hope we know more in my lifetime on what they are and everything. You never know. Who knows? What? I'm no expert. It could be extraterrestrial. Obviously, the universe is large. We would have to be complete morons to say in the whole universe we're the only, the highest intelligent life in the whole universe. Are we that stupid?
have you ever been to Roswell, New Mexico?
I've been to New Mexico, but not Roswell yet.
That's
one
where
day I will.
That's where they're saying the first aliens in the United States landed was Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, from what I understand, that was the first time they got the first time that they actually got a craft, whatever section of that government, they actually got proof. From what I understand, it was one of them. But some other people say that there was. There's also supposedly many different kinds of aliens, right? It's not all the same, because they're not all coming from the same place. There's all kinds of different areas of the universe out there, but supposedly there's base, Area 51 is also a huge place, and supposedly some people say that there's actually alien bases on Area 51. Where they refuel. Yeah, where they come to refuel and they, fix damages and stuff. And supposedly, in exchange for technology information, some people say that the government helps them. But who knows? I don't know. I'm investigating it because I'm interested in it. That's actually more interesting to me than WWF television. Right now.
Well,
Go ahead, Icon. I did have one question, though, when you're done.
Well,
I'm done.
You mentioned that. What is your, if you want to give it, I understand if you don't, but what is your opinion on the state of wrestling today with what the WWE is doing to insult our intelligence in the what the F are they doing era?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The only time I actually watch something that happened in wrestling was, for instance, I watched the Undertaker and Goldberg match because everyone was talking about it, and they're two legends. So I searched it on YouTube, and watched it because I was curious to see what would happen and what all the talk was about. But prior to that, I hadn't seen anything from WWE TV since Jinder Mahal became champion, because I used to be friends with him in Calgary, and I wrestled him a bunch of times, so I was kind of proud that he was champion, and I watched it a few times to see what he was doing. But other than that, it just doesn't interest me. There's nothing,
well, yeah,
there's no wrestler that I find interesting. There's no larger-than-life characters.
Yeah, because right now, if you're not watching it on a regular basis, you're not missing anything, really.
No. No, I'm not interested in it. And honestly, AEW, I watch the pre-show. I hope they do well. I mean, I don't know about the guys they're hiring, to be perfectly honest. Obviously, they have Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and their gang. But
yeah,
who knows?
They have Dustin Rhodes, and they have, I mean, they have Dustin Rhodes. They have Jim Ross. You know, they got
Jim
you know,
Ross is their best acquisition. So they have a lot of smart people. I'm curious to see what will happen. I'm curious, and I wish them the best of luck. There needs to be something interesting out there.
Because we would do anything to have Monday Night Wars again. We would do anything for that.
Yeah, and just interest. More, maybe they'll make it more interesting. You know what? I haven't gotten a second shot, so maybe now that there's other companies opening up, I might still get a chance before. I'm still in very good shape, and I have a lot of – I don't have any injuries. I'm good to go, and I have a lot of life left in me. If anything opens up for me in the future, whether it be Ring of Honor or anywhere else.
My last question, I'll send it back over to Garber. When you sign that AEW contract and you become a rich wrestler again, will you still accept phone calls from me?
Of course.
Okay,
of course.
It's on recorded. He won't change his – well, he could change his number, but
– Unless they make me sign a contract that says they have to approve – all media calls, and I don't get the contract if I don't sign it. Say they have to have pre-approval. But from what I see right now, they're giving their wrestlers pretty much free reign to do interviews, whereas WWE, you need approval. Trust me, I'm friends with Gerald Briscoe. He can't even talk to me on camera. I haven't been able to talk to anyone from WWE on camera, even TJ Wilson, who I'm friends with. I saw him at a convention recently, and he said he couldn't do it either. So,
yeah, they basically run your life. We got Hannibal with us here. We got another 8 minutes here left before we wrap it up. But before we go back to Garber, Just so we promise you can pitch that. If our fans want to check you out, you got a Facebook, you got an Instagram, you got a Twitter, you got a YouTube, you got a Twitch, you got a GoFundMe. What do you got?
Well, the best place to stay up to date with us is YouTube.com/TheHannibalTV. We are by far the number one pro wrestling YouTube channel in Canada. There's no one near we have over 100,000 subscribers, almost 80 million total video views, and we're growing hugely by the day. So that's YouTube.com/TheHannibalTV. Twitter, we're at TheHannibalTV. Instagram, at TheHannibalTV. Facebook, TheHannibalTV, or Great North Wrestling. Website, TheHannibalTV.com. I am on Facebook at Devin Hannibal Nicholson, but I don't know how it works when you have the maximum number of friends, if they can still be friends or not, but I would suggest YouTube is the best way to follow. Not only me, it doesn't matter if you like me or not, all these legends like Paul Orndorff, who I just interviewed, for example. Brian Blair has done lots of interviews. Billy Graham, Honky Tonk Man. My Honky Tonk Man interview has almost 1.5 million views. Jake Roberts, Demolition I've interviewed, Al Snow numerous times, Kevin Sullivan, and it's all posted for free on my YouTube channel. We also have a Patreon if you want to watch the full interviews before I post them free on YouTube. It's only $1.99 per month, patreon.com/thehannibalTV. And if you join that, you're helping me because I really want to produce more. And the only thing that slows me down from producing is cash flow. So the more cash flow I have, the more I'll be able to produce. And, of course, the last thing I'll pump is Great North Wrestling. If you're listening to this and you're going to be in the Ottawa Valley, Petawawa, Ontario, August the 10th, I'm taking on Teddy Hart in my first match in over a year after I went into kickboxing. I had 3 kickboxing fights, which I won all 3, but now I'm back in wrestling. And August 10th, ticketweb.ca has the tickets, or you can get them at the Petawawa Civic Center. And the night before, also at the Petawawa Civic Center, I'm doing a The Hannibal TV live interview taping with Teddy Hart, Wes Briscoe, and Rene Dupree. So you never know what could happen the night before August 9th at the Petawawa Civic Center. More information at thehannibaltv.com. And, yeah, we didn't bring this up, but I recently did a live interview taping with Knobs of the Nasty Boys that I've been releasing shoot clips of. But I also can see myself in the future doing more live shows because I really like the interaction with the live crowd. I find that the people I'm interviewing can't escape questions as easily in front of a live crowd, too, and it's nice to get the fan questions. I thought the fans had some great questions. And my favorite question from the Hannibal TV live show was a fan asked Knobs, has he heard anything about Corporal Kirshner?
Really?
Because who the hell remembers Corporal Kirshner? We found the one fan of Corporal Kirshner.
That's awesome.
Do you guys know what happened to him? Because I sure as hell don't.
I've never heard of the guy, to be honest with you.
They tried to replace Sergeant Slaughter back in the mid-80s when Sergeant Slaughter had the G.I. Joe toy deal and left WWE with like a rip-off character called Corporal Kirshner, and it didn't last long.
That's pretty hilarious, actually.
I like how your videos, Hannibal, are basically done in different settings, like outside, with different backgrounds. Every setting basically has a really cool touch to it. And like I said, just to have you on the program here was nothing more than an honor and a pleasure. As a successful wrestler like yourself, I'm another podcaster that I look up to. It's great. And hey, you know what? Next year, between January and December, I am leaving Winnipeg. So if Great North Wrestling needs a referee sometime next year, I'm more than happy to do that for you.
There you go. Let me know, and we'll see. I'm hoping, actually, that I can go to a place like Ring of Honor or AEW next year, because if I don't, I'm just going to wrestle less and less, just sporadically, just to show that I can still do it and get some aggression out. But other than that, I'm doing interviews. I only really want to be in a big company, and I am the owner and promoter of Great North Wrestling. Why do I want to go to the whole stress of dealing with arenas, dealing with insurance, dealing with advertising, the egos of professional wrestlers up and down a card, the last-minute issues that happen at shows to deal with, booking entire cards, producing all the interviews? That's a hell of a lot of stress when I can just go and interview somebody.
And, you know, if you ever need somebody to carry your luggage, or if you need someone to set up the ring, or you need someone to do promotions, I'd love to throw my hat in the ring too. I'd love to come work with you. You know, you could pay me a cool wage and throw me a couple hot dogs. I think that'd be perfect for you.
Sounds good. I will keep that in mind. I will pay attention to what you guys are doing, and if the opportunity arises, You never know.
And speaking of real quick of what we're doing, you know, you were nice enough to take time out of your schedule to join us on Cut the Promo, but hopefully we might be able to get you on our other show, Attitude Era Live, on Monday nights. I mean, not that I'm bragging my book from now until next June, but if I have an opening and you're available, would you be willing to join us on that show as well, Attitude Era Live?
Very possibly. And speaking of the Attitude Era, I'm actually doing a Skype interview with Vince Russo tomorrow that will be on the Hannibal TV by tomorrow night. And, of course, he was one of the head writers during the Attitude Era. And he did a full shoot interview with me, too, that's posted for you on my channel. I actually interviewed him and Vader back-to-back. They both lived in the same town.
So, well, I'll tell you what. I know we talked about this before, but if you have any way of passing my number to Vince Russo, I mean, he is a hero of mine, and I've been trying to get him on this show. I've been trying to get him on Attitude Era Live anytime.
Well, do you know how I did it? I just emailed his website. Did you email his website?
What is it, vincerusso.com?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but I'm sure if you look up Vince Russo, the official site, or the brand official site, there's a contact page on there. I believe
okay.
I just filled that out. When I met, trust me, he doesn't have a lot of friends. It's not like I called another wrestler and said, hey, your buddy's with Vince Russo, right? Hook me up.
Yeah, he's got his biggest enemy, I think, is Jim Cornette.
Yeah, you know what? I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to spend, other than an interview, I wouldn't want to spend time with them outside of an interview, either one of those guys. I don't mind doing an interview with them. Jim Cornette hasn't done one with me yet. He's turned us down a bunch of times. Vince Russo, this will be my third, but I wouldn't want to hang out with him after, and that's fine. But Vader, for instance, who I interviewed the same day as Vince Russo, we ended up becoming pretty close friends. So some people you just want to interview, other people you get along with.
And I also want to thank you for being a friend of mine as well. You're awesome, and hopefully I can stay in contact with you, and then we can do some business in the future. I think we could really burn things up, you know?
Sounds good. Hey, that's a good expression to say in Canada now with the legalization of marijuana recently.
Obviously, as everyone listening knows, that's something I'm for, so.
All right,
but no,
gentlemen,
honestly,
well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And everyone, follow thehannibaltv.com, and I wish you guys nothing but success as time goes on.
Awesome.
Thank you,
sir.
Hannibal. You're awesome, man. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Have a good night.
Oh, man. Hey, Garber, was that not an awesome interview or what, huh?
That's pretty good. Like I say, we do some of the top interviews in professional wrestling, and that was one of them. It was great to have Hannibal on the show and share his perspectives because he was doing something that we do. He podcasts and interviews some of the best in professional wrestling. We do a podcast to interview some of the best in professional wrestling. So it's always good to get along with people that share the same genuine interest as you do. So it was nothing short of spectacular. It was great. But before we wrap up this show, you should tell people how to tune into your show tomorrow. How can people do that?
All right. Well, check us out, www.blogtalkradio/AttitudeEraLive. We're having a three-guest show with me, Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster. We are going to have Sandra Taylor, the high-flying official that likes to get involved in matches. Calamity Kate, the only burlesque dancing wrestler in history. And Jen Rep, she's going to tell us about the challenge that she laid down to Justin Bieber. And we'll see if Justin Bieber has the guts to face someone from the Lingerie Fighting Championships. You know, you wouldn't think it'd be hard to beat a gal in lingerie, but Jen Rep can really rep the hell out of you. So that's our show tomorrow night. Check us out, 9 to 11 Central Standard Time, Monday night.
Absolutely. And each and every Sunday night, 10 p.m. Central, every Sunday, you can listen to Catch the Promo podcast like you are now here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Cut the Promo, on Facebook at facebook.com/cutthepromo, and coming soon, our website, cutthepromopodcast.blogspot.com. That's going to be coming up very, very soon as well. So thanks again for listening to Cut the Promo. For myself, Jordan Garber, and my co-host, The Icon, thank you to everybody from around the world for listening to me and Icon live.